Chapter 2. Secrets. When I woke up the next morning, my eyes still hurt from crying so much. I knew that I ought to get up and start packing my things, ready to leave. I'd agreed with my dad that he would pick me and all my stuff up from college in a couple of days and drive me home. But I just wanted to sleep. It was getting dark when I finally got up. I went down the hall to Annika's room. As soon as she saw me, she said, "What's wrong?" "Jeremiah cheated on me," I told her, sitting on the bed and starting to cry again.
"No! When? With who?" she said, kneeling down next to me.
"With Lacey Barone, during spring break. When we were broken up, we'd already made up our minds to go home for spring break. Then Jeremiah decided to go to Cabo with the guys in his house. Lacey Barone was there too."
Annika just listened.
"I'm so angry with him for hooking up with another girl and not telling me for all this time," I went on. "It's the same as lying. I feel so stupid. I feel like I can't trust him ever again."
"Keeping a secret like that from the person you love is probably the worst part," Annika said.
"You mean that it's worse than cheating on me?" I asked.
"Well, yes, cheating is horrible, but turning it into a secret made it really bad. Why didn't he just tell you?"
I was silent. I also had a secret, which I hadn't told anyone, not even Annika or Taylor. For the past couple of years, even after Jeremiah and I began dating, I would sometimes let my mind go back to a special memory of Conrad. It could be Conrad teaching me how to dance, or the first time that I beat him in a swimming race, or the way that he wet his hair down in the mornings. But there was one memory that I didn't let myself go back to. It wasn't allowed. It was the day after Christmas, last year. My mother had gone on a trip to Turkey, and Stephen was away skiing. That evening, I was sitting at home on my own with nothing to do except eat pizza in front of the TV. Suddenly, I had an idea. Why should I be at home alone when I could be at my favorite place in the world? 15 minutes later, I was driving Stephen's car up to the summer house in Cousins, which Mr. Fisher gave to Conrad and Jeremiah after Susanna died. I was thinking about lighting a fire and drinking hot chocolate when I got there, and waking up to a winter morning by the beach. I made up my mind never to tell anyone. It would be my secret. When I arrived, I found the key in its secret hiding place outside and let myself in. The house was very cold, and I couldn't manage to light a fire, but I made myself hot chocolate and found lots of blankets. I soon fell asleep on the couch. I woke in the middle of the night to the sound of someone trying to break into the house. I was really scared and hid under the blankets. Then a voice called out, "Steve, are you in there?" I imagined that someone else called Steve had already managed to break into the house. I was too frightened to look out the window, so I went to the front door and listened hard. "Steven, open the door. It's me," said a voice that I knew. It was Conrad. I quickly opened the door and gazed at him. He gazed back. My heart was racing, and it was hard to breathe. I forgot everything, and there was just him standing there in his long brown winter coat.
"It's you," he said, still looking shocked. "I saw Stephen's car and thought that he was here."
When he hugged me, his cheek was cold against mine. He followed me to the living room and sat down opposite me.
"What are you doing here?" he asked.
I was all alone at home, and I just felt like coming. What are you doing here? I didn't know that you were back from California.
I hadn't seen Conrad for a year since he had moved to California, where it was always sunny. His skin looked brown from the sun.
My dad sent me a ticket a couple of days ago, but my plane came into a different airport because of snow, so it was easier for me to come here, he said.
I was getting cold and pulled a blanket around me on the couch.
Shall I light the fire? Conrad asked.
Yes, please, I replied. We had been here before, just like this, 2 Christmases ago. So much had happened since then. He had a whole new life now, and so did I. Maybe he was thinking the same thing because he looked at the blankets on the couch and suddenly stood up.
So, you're sleeping down here? He said. Actually, it might be too late for a fire. I'm really tired, so I'm going to bed now, too.
He walked to the stairs and then turned back.
Merry Christmas, Belly, he said. It's really good to see you.
You too, I said. The next morning, when I woke up on the couch, I was sure that Conrad had already left. I ran to the hall window to see if his car had gone, but I fell, hitting my head really hard on the floor. I lay on my back, staring up, tears in my eyes. The pain was terrible. Then Conrad suddenly appeared above me.
Are you okay? He asked. Can you move?
He kneeled down beside me.
Let me try and lift you.
I shook my head.
I'm too heavy.
I know that I'm not as strong as my brother, but I can pick up a girl, Belly.
It was strange to hear him talk about Jeremiah, and I felt embarrassed. Very gently, he picked me up from the floor and into his arms. I held on with one arm around his neck as he carried me to the couch. Gazing up at him, I suddenly thought, I still love you. I thought that my feelings for Conrad were safely hidden away, but I realized that hiding something doesn't mean it has gone away. I'd always have Conrad in my heart because my feelings for him were part of me, part of my past. But that was all Conrad got. Jeremiah had everything else, the present me and the future me. That was what was important. Later, Conrad and I ate lunch together, and in the afternoon, he went for a run while I watched a movie. It was a love story with a sad ending that made me cry. When Conrad came back, he saw my wet eyes and teased me, just like he used to. The next morning, he was gone. Jeremiah called me when I was driving home from Cousins. I didn't tell him where I was. I don't know why I lied. I just knew that I didn't want him to know. When I got back to my room after talking to Annika, I turned on my phone. I had hundreds of messages from Jeremiah. I read them and messaged him back. I need some time. He replied, okay. Then I called Taylor and told her everything. She screamed and came straight over with chocolate. I'm going to hurt his face so badly that no girl will ever look at him again, she said. There are some things that only your oldest friend can say. I immediately felt a little better. Are you okay? She asked.
I'm better now that you're here, I said.
Do you think that you'll take him back? What would you do? I asked her.
If he was just some ordinary guy, then no. But Jeremiah isn't just some ordinary guy. You have history together. I didn't say anything, but I knew that she was right. Although, of course, I still hate him right now, Taylor went on. So how about I go and put a knife in his car tires tonight?
She was trying to make me laugh, and it worked. I laughed for the first time in what felt like a long time. The next day, I called Jeremiah and told him that I needed to see him. But when I opened my door and saw his face again, all the pain came back. He tried to hug me, but I pushed him away. We sat on my bed with our backs against the wall. "How do I know that you wouldn't cheat on me again?" I said. "How could I trust you?" He got up. For a moment, I thought that he was leaving, and my heart nearly stopped. But then, he got down on one knee in front of me and said, "You could marry me." He reached into his jeans pocket and pulled out a silver ring with a little diamond in the center. I couldn't feel my body. He was still talking, and I couldn't even hear. All I could do was stare at the ring in his hand. "Marry me," he said. "I love you so much. These past couple of days have been awful without you." He took a breath. "I'm so sorry for hurting you, Belly. I know that it won't be easy to forgive me, and I'll need to work really hard to get you to trust me again. But will you let me try?" "I don't know," I whispered. "I'll try so hard, I promise," he said. "We'll get an apartment together, and I'll learn to cook. I'll do the cleaning." He grabbed my hands, but I pulled them away. "So you just want to forget what you did by marrying me?" I said. "No, that's not it. What happened made me realize that I never want to be without you. You are the only girl for me. I've always known it. I'll never love another girl the way that I love you." He took my hand again, and this time I let him. "Do you still love me?" "Yes," I whispered. "Then please marry me. You can't ever hurt me like that again." "I won't." He looked at me so seriously. I knew his face well, maybe even better than my own. I knew how every little mark had gotten there. I had been there for those moments, and I suddenly realized that I didn't want to see a mark on his face one day without knowing where it came from. I wanted to be with him. I took my hand from his and held my fingers out for him. His eyes lit up. It was impossible to describe how happy I felt at that moment. His hand shook as he put the ring on my finger. "Isabel Conklin, will you marry me?" he said. "Yes, I'll marry you," I said. He put his arms around me, and we hugged each other tight. It felt safe. We would get through this storm together, I thought. He had made mistakes, and I had too. But we loved each other, and that was what mattered. That night, I dreamed of Conrad. I was the same age, but he was only 10 or 11 years old. We were playing outside of my house, just running around, until it began to get dark. "Susanna will be worried about you. You should go home," I said to him. "I can't. I don't know how. Will you help me?" he said. And then I was sad because I didn't know how either. We weren't at my house anymore, and it was so dark. We were in the woods. We were lost. When I woke up, I was crying, and Jeremiah was asleep next to me. The dream wasn't clear anymore, but I wanted so much to hold on to it. I tried hard to get it back, and then smiled as the memory returned to me. Conrad and I playing outside for hours.